This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean Podcast. Today's talk is from a weekend retreat Reggie co-led with his spiritual brother, the Dagara shaman Maladoma Somme. Reggie draws upon his training as a religious historian to discuss the alienating movement away from earth-based spirituality in the development of the so-called high religions of agricultural civilizations. This talk was given in 2008 at a weekend retreat in Boulder called African and Tibetan Approaches to Working with the Elements.
So Buddhism as a tradition has become also one of the high religions. And just from my point of view as an historian, I think most Buddhist traditions have to some extent lost touch with what they're really trying to do. Not all of them. And even within the ones that have lost touch, there are individuals, you know, who understand. But there's a tradition that's different from that. And this is the so-called Vajrayana tradition that developed in India, you know, 2,000 years ago. And this tradition developed outside of the framework of Indian society and outside of the framework of organized Buddhism. The people who carried on this tradition were people like us. They were people who lived in the world. They came from all different levels of society. Some of them, in fact, most of them came from the lowest possible levels, the outcasts. These, especially low-caste people, they kind of got it, and they saw, you know, what was wrong with the whole thing and also what was possible. And they began practicing Buddhism in a completely different way from the establishment. Their way of practicing Buddhism was to discard all forms of social status, all dreams of rising in the world, abandon everything that wasn't just nakedly human. Their thing was to tear down the human person to his or her fundamental essence and arrive at the place of beingness, just being, with nothing extra and no additions. And they lived in the world, and for them, the world itself began to come alive. And everything in their world began to become their teacher. And they began to realize that the idea of a denatured, desacralized, and dead world was actually a lie. It was the lie of civilization. And this tradition, in my in my thinking or my view, represents a survival in the modern world of the Aboriginal spirituality that has been part of human beings since the very beginning. Now, not surprisingly, this particular tradition that came down into Tibet and then to Chogyam Trungpa was criminalized in ancient India. It was considered criminal to practice this tradition. It was criminal to talk about the sacredness of the world. It was criminal to talk about the goodness of the human person and the possibilities of realization, no matter what your caste or your social status. And some of these people were put to death. They were killed. They were murdered because of their sense of the ancient past that they were giving birth to. Bureaucratic, hierarchical, patriarchal mentality is deeply threatened when we talk this way. The modern world is deeply threatened when we talk this way. But this tradition has survived. And what happened when I met Maladoma was I realized, you know, that he spoke the language of my own soul. And that this tradition, the Chogyam Trungpa, spoke the language of my own soul. I hadn't seen it. I didn't see it. The Maladoma helped me unlock that. And I've gone back and, yeah, I mean, you know, there are many people here who were students of Chogyam Trungpa or admire him. There's a surface of Chogyam Trungpa that survives now in the world, in the books, in the tapes, in the organization. But now I realize, going back and looking through my own history with him day by day, the different situations, the encounters, the talks at 4 o'clock in the morning, the insults, the love, the way he was with all of us, I realize there's another Chogyam Trungpa, which is an Aboriginal person. I think that, you know, we could become kind of depressed about our modern situation. But I think actually that's part of the modern lie, is that life is depressing and our modern situation is depressing. I mean, honestly, I don't want to really go into becoming too oppositional. But I do think that part of the way modernity maintains itself in separation from the sacredness of what is by convincing us that there's no hope. Chogyam Trungpa's message the whole way through was, you can do it. You can do it. You can recover everything, 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 everything. And a lot of people are impressed by his unique style of teaching or his particular practices or the community he founded. And actually, you know what? I think that's actually all beside the point. What was impressive about him is that he really understood that the possibilities of the modern person to completely recover everything that they could possibly be, to inhabit their full humanity, and to recover the livingness of the natural world is completely there. It's all there. And the only way we won't do it is if we believe it's not possible. So to me, the most pernicious lie of modernity is that we can't do it, and it's not there, and it's gone. It's not gone. No way. So, as I was mentioning last night, I want to do, you know, two different things with you. I want to talk to you. I think I may have alluded to this. I want to talk to you a little bit as I'm doing now. So there's a kind of framework for it. But then I want to show you these practices and talk about what they are. As you know, we know, and as we'll be learning from Maladoma, working with the elements is right at the basis of our primordial human spirituality. And it's interesting that in our tradition, we work with the elements very much outside of us as well, in the sense, in the natural world. There's a whole, sort of foundation of the spiritual life is making a relationship, a living relationship with the elements in the world. And we do it through practices, we do it through contemplating the elements, you know, going to a river and being with the river and engaging the river in dialogue. We do it with fire. We do it with wind. We do it with space. We do it with the earth. There's very much that sense of working with the world and working with the living elements, and that's a very important part of what we do. And there's another level of doing it, too, that this is the one I'm going to work with you on, is that it's also internal. And as I was saying last night, the whole universe is actually replicated in our body. The teachings of Tibetan yoga and actually many of the ancient spiritualities, the human body is a reflection of all of the fundamental realities of the universe. And by entering the body and exploring the body and invoking the body, we can touch and taste and be transformed by the most distant star in the most distant galaxy, in the most distant sector of the universe. There's a lot more to be said, but that's kind of going to be my focus, and particularly because Maladoma is going to be working with you in this more cosmological, much bigger way, you know, in terms of the world. So, just something about the elements. We say that the path to healing and the path to wholeness and the path to loving other people is through making a deeper more intimate relationship with the elements. And it's true. It is true. Although in the Tibetan tradition we don't always use that language, basically the whole path is working with the elements, the elementals, the fundamental realities of life. One way to make the journey is to try to deliberately address the modern mentality and dismantle it. And it is part of what I think we all do on the path. In other words, to see through the artificiality and the disconnectedness and the ways in which we're always separating ourselves from what's good and true and real. But there's another way to approach the situation, and that is by working directly with the underbelly of this whole thing, which is the elements, the elementals. So through working with the elements, the imbalances of our body and our spirit are overcome, corrected, healing. Through working with the elements, we come into the fullness of our own being, which is wholeness. We do that through meditation. And through working with the elements, we find language and metaphor and symbols and energy to help others, to love others. But the reason that it's the working with the elements is effective is because actually we are the elements. Our fundamental state of being is the dance of the elements. We are the idea that there's a self, a solid entity that's separate from the elements is a fiction. It's a fiction. And the more we grow spiritually, the more that we realize that we are the earth. We are the earth. We are the earth that holds and sustains and nourishes and supports us. We are the fire of life, the fire of love, the fire of transformation. That's who we are. That's, as humans, we are constantly a fire that's burning. We are the water which washes and purifies, and the water is actually who we are, flowing through us and flowing to others and flowing throughout the world. We are the what's known as prana, or the breath of life, the wind that blows in the outside world and the breath that flows in the inside of us. We are the vastness of space. In the Tibetan tradition, part of meditation practice is to realize that this human awareness is only artificially bounded by our body, and that the fundamental fact of our human consciousness, our human awareness, is that it's coextensive with all of being. As we say, our fundamental awareness is all of time and all of space. Our state of being is that vast and that open, that measureless, that boundless. And out of that immeasurability of space arises our life, which is the flow of earth, water, fire, and wind. And we are nothing other than that in the world. We are an event in the universe, an unfolding event. And that event is, from our point of view, the purpose of our life is to discover ourselves as the elemental realities of the universe and nothing more. There's nothing left over. There's no separate self. And then to deliver or allow that, the energy, the openness and energy and love of the universe to flow to other people. I mean, that's why we're here. So when we work with the elements, that's what we're dealing with. We're recovering that level of being in ourselves. And the interesting point is that as we do that, our experience of being human changes. And beginning, we feel alienated, disconnected. We don't feel like we're really living our life. We never taste anything fully. We never smell anything fully. When we walk in the forest, we're lost in our thoughts. We don't even know what's around us. And through recovering our fundamental being, we begin to realize that the fullness of life and the fullness of human experience is actually available to us moment by moment. It's not a matter of the future, it's a matter of now. Everything is here. And in each moment of our life, unique as it is, we taste the completion of what it means to be. So the elements, we're going to work with them in our bodies in the next couple of days. And that's the journey that is unfolding for us when we do that. And again, this is the Tibetan yoga tradition. This is what these people do in caves. Tiny, tiny, tiny segment of the Tibetan population went up in the mountains, and they left behind really everything, social status, comfort. I mean, they basically lost their life. They gave away their life. And once they went, they could never come back. And this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing up in their caves. They're recovering this way of being that alone satisfies the soul. So in terms of the body work, you know, you could say what we're doing with the body work is we are letting go of the modern ego, the modern mentality, the modern frozenness, and we're recovering the aboriginal body that is actually our body. Our body actually is the aboriginal body. And when we recover the aboriginal body, we recover the aboriginal experience of being human, or the original, the first humans, the light of the first dawn when people walk this earth barefoot. That's what we're recovering. And we could say, what gets between us and that experience of our bodies and of being human? What gets between us is the frozenness and solidification and tension that is part of human life. And just to put it in a nutshell, I mean, there's a huge amount that could be said, but our body already at this moment contains the fullness of the human experience of the beginning. But the modern mentality cannot handle it and will not handle it because it's too vast, it's too open, it's too penetrating, it's too groundless, it's too intense, it's too real. And the way we handle the information that our body wants to deliver about what the world is really like is we freeze. We freeze tension everywhere in our body. And the tension goes down to the cellular level. Our cells contract. Ultimately, our cells are what knows reality. And we freeze ourselves so we don't have to feel and we don't have to know the truth of things. A lot of the body work in the Tibetan tradition involves learning how to relax to deeper and deeper levels. Relaxation. Relax, relax, relax. Some of us seem kind of relaxed, and some of us seem kind of uptight. But actually, all of us, at a very deep level, are uptight. We're frozen. We freeze so we don't have to know. It's our way of maintaining our ignorance. When we begin to relax, what we're letting go of is the modern vice grip on our souls. We're starting to unwind all of the cords and the shackles, take them off around us. We're taking off the armor. The more sensitive we let our bodies become, the more sensitive we're willing to let ourselves be, the more we start to uncover the fundamental, primordial human experience that is in us at this moment. So it's just a matter of letting go. And, you know, a lot of people say we just have to let go. But the thing is, letting go is somatic. And this is something that is not understood in modern Buddhism. People think they can just let go. Meantime, they're completely disembodied. They have no idea what's happening below their neck. That's not letting go. You can let go up here, but if you're not letting go down here, nothing's going to happen. There's no journey. Letting go is somatic. Letting go of the modern mentality is somatic. You have to let go in the body. And so that's what we're going to work with. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to relate to the elements, because when you begin to explore the elements, then you begin to see how frozen you really are. And somehow or other, it gives you the point of view and the power to begin to relax at a very, very deep level.
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Ketchog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.